I would like to call the October 24th, 2019 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. Mr. Tuohy, may we have a roll call, please?
Ms. Burns, Ms. Carroll, Ms. Lowe.
Here.
Mr. McMahon.
Present.
Mr. Stanton.
Also present.
Mr. Strotman.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Rushing. Ms. Russell.
Present.
And I am present.
Thank you. We have a quorum.
Quorum.
Mr. Zenner, are there any adjustments or additions to the agenda?
No, there are not, Madam Chairman.
Thank you.
I have a motion.
Thank you, Ms. Russell.
I move to approve the agenda.
Second.
Second by Mr. Stanton. Take a thumbs up on approval of the agenda. Unanimous. Thank you. Everyone should have gotten a copy of the October 10th regular meeting minutes. Were there any additions or changes to the minutes? Seeing none. Ms. Russell? Mr. McMahon?
I move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Second by Mr. Stanton. Thumbs up approval on the minutes. Unanimous. Thank you. Our public hearing for this evening is case 231-2019, a request by the City of Columbia for recognition and recommended action on the adoption of an implementation matrix relating to the findings and recommendations presented in the January 2017 final report for the scenic Rock Quarry Road corridor as prepared by the Rock Quarry Road Stakeholder Advisory Group. Mr. Zenner, may we have a staff report, please?
Yes, you may, ma'am. As indicated, the request this evening is for recognition and recommendation on the 2017 final report for the Scenic Rock Quarry Road corridor. The action is required pursuant to Section 29-2.3B, number 7, III of the UDC. That is the section of our code that deals with scenic road overlays and the plan requirement that is corresponding to their adoption. We have had a slew of public engagement on this at the commission level, three meetings in 2018, and then five meetings in 2019. There was a gap in our meetings between February and June as a result of being redirected to other Planning Commission-related matters, our annual review of the capital improvement plan, as well as the development of medical marijuana legislation, most notably the reasons for the delay. We published the public hearing notice for this particular item on the 8th of October. And that ran as a general notice of an amendment to the city code, as we do with projects of this nature. We also provided notification via email to the principals with the stakeholder advisory group that are here this evening, Ms. Wilson as well as Ms. Humans, and several other members apparently of the stakeholder group. Mr. Stanton was a member as well, and then former Commissioner Harder was on that advisory group. In May of 2014, City Council established a 15-member stakeholder group. That group was reduced to 11 members shortly after being established due to some other conflicts that required it to be reduced. The city traffic engineer was the staff liaison assigned to this particular project. It is unique that we often have a plan produced without the planning department's involvement. However, given that this is a scenic road overlay and the majority of the scenic road overlay standards are associated with transportation and traffic engineering requirements, the ordinance specifically called out the traffic division to manage and be liaison to this project. So we were brought in as the planning staff representing the commission once the actual report process had been completed. Meetings were held between 2014 and 2017, culminating with the preparation of the report that we have before us this evening. And the stated purpose for why the stakeholder group was established was to create, was to evaluate various scenarios to help guide development and maintenance of the Rock Quarry Road scenic overlay and its corridor, running generally from Stadium Boulevard down to the city's southerly limits, just north of Gans Road. The Rock Quarry Road overlay itself was created in April of 1998. Accompanying shortly thereafter and to provide guidance from a land use perspective of development within the corridor, a special area plan was prepared and adopted in 2001. We are not discussing this evening amendments to the special area plan. The special area plan, as we have discussed through work sessions, staff believes is still relevant. It is still used when necessary for development proposals within the corridor. The scenic road overlay requirements that are part of our Unified Development Code at this point are also utilized by our building and our site development staff to ensure that compliance with the buffering and the buffer width that is established by the overlay ordinance is met through development proposals. And as we discussed again through many of our meetings, there are concerns that the enforcement components of particular aspects of the scenic road overlay regulations are not adequately being addressed, and that is part of what the report attempts to correct or has identified as areas of correction. The final report, as I've indicated, is required to be reviewed by the Planning Commission per the UDC, as well as it is required to have a recommendation forwarded to the City Council for its adoption. The report's broken into three sections, if you all, or six sections, if you all recall. Scenic character is the first section. Scenic road design action items is the second. Design parameters for preservation and maintenance of the corridor is third. Considerations for a pedway was the fourth section. Maintenance and development of the existing buffer and the canopy features was the fifth, and enforcement was the sixth. And the graphic that you see here to the right is the actual existing and adopted overlay, scenic road overlay for Rock Quarry Road, our only scenic road overlay that we have adopted within the City of Columbia at this time. Though the regulations that are within the adopted UDC would be applied to the establishment of any future scenic road overlay as well. So right now, because we only have one, we often refer to it as the Rock Quarry Scenic Road Overlay, but we need to understand that the conditions to establish a future scenic road overlay, as well as maintenance and future plan preparation, because each scenic road overlay is required to have a plan or a report similar to this, would apply to any future road overlay. Therefore, as we discussed again within our work sessions, it is possible that some of the recommendations that have come forth out of the report necessitate revisions to the base scenic road overlay standards such that we can divide general requirements that apply to all scenic road overlays away from those that would be specific to our one existing scenic road overlay, Rock Quarry Road. The final report contains recommendations and actions that overlap many of our scenic road overlay regulatory structure requirements. It isn't a traditional corridor plan, and I think we discussed this early on in our work sessions. Traditional corridor plan normally would look at land use elements associated with the development of the corridor. We contend from a staff perspective that the 2001 special area plan provides the land use element that is otherwise mentioned within the current scenic road overlay requirements, and therefore, while they are not included within the report directly, they are indirectly already addressed through the other document that we have on file and that we do utilize. And yes, as we talked about during our work sessions, there are overlapping objectives within the report that are also identified within the special area plan, and there are some areas within the special area plan that may need amendment but under a separate direction provided to us by City Council to engage in that. At this point, we have not been asked to update the 2001 Special Area Plan. Even though it is not a corridor plan, the plan and its recommendations, this report's recommendations, have to be evaluated if there are any future improvements within the Rock Quarry Road corridor. That is a specific regulatory requirement. So while not a corridor plan, while a report and a guidance document is pointed out here in our next bullet, that does not diminish the impact that the report has on any future proposed changes to the corridor that would be run through our regular public improvement process. The plan's recommendations have to be consulted. The stakeholder group has to be consulted. Those were provisions that were put into the scenic road overlay requirements. And they would apply not only to the Rock Quarry overlay, but they would apply to all future road overlays as well. And each of those future road overlays would refer to their requisite plans for guidance. Council does need to provide direction to staff and to the commission should any of the recommendations within the report, as there are many, would require regulatory development or policies in policy adoption in order to effectuate the plan's objectives. Staff cannot just propose text changes as a result of this report without first being directed to do so. So what we have devised as a part of this overall process is a method by which to give council guidance as to what technical changes or regulatory changes may be needed in order to help effectuate the plan's goals and objectives moving forward. The plan, as I point out, offers opportunities as well for global and specific scenic road overlay requirements that would further inform future scenic road overlays, as well as provide guidance for future development along the Rock Quarry Road corridor itself. So we have two categories of changes that the report identifies, some that the Planning Commission, through its extensive work sessions, identified as global, that were applicable across the board, and others that we needed to basically specifically hone in and only apply to the Rock Quarry Road overlay based on its unique attributes. Again, that then leads one to understand that the current code provisions, our regulatory provisions in the UDC, also need amendment in order to make that transition more clearly apparent. We need to create a section that deals with those general requirements applicable to all scenic road overlays and then those that are just specific to the Rock Quarry Road overlay. Implementation of the final report is going to require council policy and regulatory actions, as well as dedication of funding sources. And implementation, in our opinion, may be best accomplished by collaborating with a network of allied stakeholders beyond just city government. Many of the requirements and recommendations of the report lead one to believe when you read it that there are outside partnerships that would be beneficial to be involved, such as naturalists, our master naturalists, our master gardeners, potentially other entities such as MU and its extension services to help with assessments and benchmarking and then ongoing monitoring. While the City of Columbia has many resources available to it in the way of GIS and some other aspects from staffing, i.e. our Parks and Recreation Department, that could potentially assist, we believe that there are many other organizations that may need to be employed or asked to participate by the stakeholder group to help make the report's overall objectives fully implementable instead of just relying on city government and its limited resources at this point. To focus the plan, recommendations and its actions, as we've discussed previously in our work sessions at the latter half August and September, we developed a implementation and recommendation action matrix. This matrix can serve as an action plan to implement the objectives of the overall report and is something that we believe that would be beneficial to council as well as we felt it would be beneficial to the Planning Commission in being able to focus its decisions and its recommendations as it relates to the plan's content. The matrix is broken down into six sections that match the final report sections, and it provides a description of each of the recommended recommendations or actions. If the action is, recommendation or action is specific or global in nature, if its effectuation requires a policy or a regulatory decision, and then if a regulatory decision is necessary, what is a description of what that regulatory change may be, and then also identifies participants and stakeholders that may be beneficial to engage to effectuate the recommendations and the actions, and then if the recommended action, recommendation or action is going to have a fiscal impact to the city. Obviously, the last two bullet points are related to each other. Potentially to reduce fiscal impact, you engage a broader spectrum of stakeholders to help make the plan realized. The plan itself is, we need to look at the plan itself in two contexts. One, the plan as an overall document, and what do we need to do with that overall document? And then secondly, the plan's recommended actions and its recommendations. Acknowledgement of the final report allows for the report and its content as a whole to be used in future decision making. An acknowledgement is consistent with what we have done in the past with other corridor plans that have been produced outside of generally the traditional planning process. And the most recent one that we have done, which you are all familiar with, is the Business Loop Corridor Plan. It was prepared by a series of outside consultants, brought to us for acknowledgement, and an action forwarded to council. And the purpose behind that, if you all recall, was to open up the opportunity for the Business Loop CID to be able to start applying for grant and funding sources in order to help effectuate the overall plan's goals and objectives. A recommendation of acknowledgement or acknowledging a plan does not endorse the individual actions of the plan. It only gives acknowledgement to the plan's overall content and the body of work that was produced by the stakeholders, and shows the Planning Commission's general belief that the plan does provide guidance. That would be our view of it, a summary of what an acknowledgement would be. The adoption of the implementation matrix, however, on the other hand, and the forwarding of that to City Council is more of a an action to give direction on how the plan's recommendations and actions should be implemented, and provides the framework by which council can then turn around and suggest to, not suggest, but direct city staff to work with the commission in order to make real the necessary changes in our regulatory structure or through policies, the plan's objectives, its goals. So first you have to consider acknowledging the plan as a body of work. Secondly, we need to address the issue of basically providing guidance as to how do you make the plan real in our regulatory environment. So our recommendation as it relates to the plan is to acknowledge the final report as guidance first, and then to recommend adoption of the matrix as prepared for council's use in determining what regulatory changes they want to direct staff to engage in, and then what policy decisions they may feel are necessary in order to further fulfill the overall objectives of the area plan itself, or the corridor plan and report. I have not covered in great detail, and I did this on purpose, the individual components of the plan itself and where particular text amendments needed to be made or any of those detailed aspects. They are included within the matrix. And it is my belief and my hope that the commission feels that the matrix identifies the viewpoints of the commission as expressed through our multiple work sessions that we had. But if there are areas within that matrix that you all want to, on the record, state concern with or suggest adjustments to, we will incorporate that in a forwarding report to City Council. They will be captured as part of the public meeting minutes, but that is entirely at the discretion of the commission. You have one of two choices. You can either adopt it as it's been submitted to you, or you can make modifications to those particular points within the matrix itself. With that, that is all I have to offer, and I'm more than happy to answer any questions that you may have as it relates to this item.
Thank you, Mr. Zenner. Before we move to commissioner questions, I would like to ask any commissioners who has had any ex parte prior to this meeting related to this case to please disclose that now so all commissioners have the same information to consider on behalf of the case in front of us. Mr. Stanton.
As Mr. Zenner stated, I was on that commission, on this committee for 3 years, so know that.
Thank you. Any additional comments, statements?
I just have
Ms. Russell.
After this.
Seeing none, commissioner questions, Ms. Russell.
I have a question for legal. When we get to the recommendation, it's my belief that we need to do two motions for clarity. Do you agree?
I think that'd probably be best.
Okay. Thank you.
Any additional questions for staff? I see none. Since there's no additional questions of staff, we're going to open up the floor for public comment at this time. If anyone would like to make public comment on this case, please come forward, give your name and address for the record. Individuals,
good
evening.
We're
co-chairs. So we'll give you, we have 3 minutes for individuals and 6 minutes if you're representing a group.
We're representing a group.
You are.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Vicki Reback Wilson, co-chair of the task force stakeholders group, and I live at 3201 Blackberry Lane in Columbia.
Julie Humans, the other co-chair, and I live at 2101 Rock Quarry Road.
First of all, we would like to thank all those who have worked hard on this. We particularly acknowledge the many sessions and the work that you have done, but we also want to acknowledge the staff people and members of the stakeholders group who met for over 2.5 years every month with three staff members, always two at our meetings every month during that time to help with this report. In addition, there was money allocated from the City Council. We had $10,000. Most of that was spent on consultants, particularly in the area of looking at a pedway. I wanted to clarify that in the report where there are parameters listed for the pedway, and we worked very hard to see how that could be effectuated, the recommendation was that doing so at this time would be either prohibitively expensive or destroy the scenic road. We hope that you or future policymakers will find a way to change that as we go on. It has been just under 3 years since we submitted our report. Had we had this meeting, this hearing, a little sooner, or had we known then what we know now, we probably would have emphasized things in the report slightly differently. A lot of things have transpired in the 3 years. There have been changes in the road because trees had to be taken down because of construction, particularly south of Grindstone. There's been inadvertent clearing by Boone Electric because of poor communication as to what was expected and why Rock Quarry Road was different from their other projects. There have been new buildings, including the partial erection so far of a Butler building with clearing that's taken place. And we have realized that there is often or sometimes a conflict between city requirements for clearing invasive species, which then eliminates the existing vegetative buffer. There is no emphasis in the report for retroactive replanting or restoration of those buffers. Were we to do this report again, we would emphasize the importance of enforcement. It is that lack which has led to some of the degradation that has gone on in the last several years. In addition, there were approved deviations from the special area plan, which inadvertently allowed further degradation of the buffer in several areas. I won't go through all the other examples. If you've driven the road, you know how beautiful it is, particularly at this time of year, and you also know how much it has changed in the more than 20 years that those of us stakeholders in this room have been working on these issues. In short, the clock is ticking. We urge you to move this forward. I know you have that same feeling, and to emphasize the importance of enforcement quickly, communication quickly. We ask that the entire report and photographs be made part of the public record, and we would like to recognize the other stakeholder members who, in the interest of time, will not be speaking tonight before Ms. Heumann says anything. So those people who are here, thank you. They attended monthly, as did Mr. Stanton for a long time.
I can only reiterate and emphasize what my co-chair has said, and also to give the commission a lot of credit for the work they've done. Living on the road, we're very aware of the underlying elements, the scenic characteristics. We're watching them disappear and be degraded. When we come to the committees, we realize how many other layers and dimensions it takes to preserve these characteristics. People say to me, "You're going to a Rock Quarry Road meeting? Why?" They did that years ago. Well, as we all know, they did put an ordinance on, and it didn't accomplish what we thought it did. Our stakeholder committee, I think, is very satisfied with the summary that Mr. Zenner gave. In overall, that is where we stand. We understand some details are not exactly what we thought they would be, but the urgency now is our main concern, that even this summer things have changed so rapidly, and the need for compliance and getting the information out that there will be compliance. We understand that our committee can't come up with these policies, but your recommendations are what will help move the city to take these steps. So again, we hope that the report will be forwarded, and the matrix, because the matrix is the details of how to take action for compliance and enforcement. Thank you.
Are there any questions?
Thank you. Are there any questions for these speakers? Mr. McMahon.
I just have a quick comment. I'd like to thank you both and your entire task force for doing what you've done to try to preserve something in Columbia. Ms. Heumann, Ms. Reback-Wilson, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you for our first scenic road overlay. Hopefully we'll have more, but it's exciting to start somewhere.
And we should acknowledge that the wording of that ordinance was largely a result of work done by Jan Pritchard, who is here, who was president of our neighborhood association at the time.
Thank you, Ms. Pritchard.
Seeing no further questions, thank you. Any additional comments from the public?
My name is Dee Dawkins. I live at 804 Agin Street. I'm representing the Greenbelt Land Trust today. The Greenbelt Land Trust is a not-for-profit organization that helps landowners ensure that their land will maintain the natural or agricultural characteristics that they value into the future. So far, the Greenbelt Land Trust has preserved nearly 600 acres of land for future generations. We own and manage the Hinkson Valley Nature Preserve, approximately 70 acres along Rock Quarry Road and Hinkson Creek. Part of the city's Hinkson Trail runs through our land. In addition, we hold conservation easements on two other neighboring properties. So we appreciate the careful work that the stakeholders group, the staff, and Planning and Zoning Commission have done on the report and the matrix, and look forward to it moving to City Council, where action is needed as soon as possible to maintain the special qualities of the corridor. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dockin. Are there any questions for the speaker? I see none. Thank you. Any additional speakers? Seeing none, Commissioner discussion? Mr. Stanton.
This is a wonderful group to work with. I'm very proud of the group and the product that they produced. I learned a lot about the Rock Quarry Road, and I think that the report, as well as the matrix that staff put together, produced a good product, and I hope that City Council takes it serious and moves as quickly as possible to preserve the interest of the group.
Ms. Russell?
I think it would be my honor to make a motion.
I have a second, but I'd like to say something before we close.
Okay.
Or we'll make the motion. I'll make my comment in the discussion period. Second.
Well, I think we need a motion first. We're so excited.
First,
Ms. Russell.
First, regarding case 3120.
We're going to do one first.
One moment. If I can have
Mr.
Zenner. Do two motions.
Two motions.
One detail. Unfortunately, that I had left out of my presentation, and it needs to be considered as a part of an amendment that you all will need to include. It was brought to my attention by Ms. Humans earlier today that we have identified through the matrix master gardeners as one of the stakeholder group participants that may need to be reached out to. As Ms. Humans pointed out to me, there were two master naturalists that sat on the stakeholder group. Naturalists are different from master gardeners, apparently, so I got a little bit of an education today. And it is my recommendation that the matrix be amended where necessary to incorporate master naturalist into several of the stakeholder group's participants. And master gardeners also be retained, so you'd have master naturalists and master gardeners as participants and stakeholders. And that would be an amendment to the currently presented matrix that you have before you this evening. And that would be part of your second motion.
Thank you.
Part of the second one?
Part of the second motion.
Part of the second motion.
Standing by.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairman.
Okay. In the case of 312019, I move to acknowledge the final report as the guidance document for the corridor.
Second.
Second by Mr. McMahon. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on this motion?
I just would like to add the comments. I'm sorry. I spoke before you recognized me. Ma'am, I recognized?
Mr. McMahon.
Thank you. I just would like to add in the comments for council that I encourage them to act with alacrity and to please include meaningful enforcement.
Any additional discussion on this? Seeing none, Mr. Toohey, may we have a roll call, please?
Ms. Lowe.
Yes.
Mr. McMahon.
Yes.
Mr. Stanton.
Yes.
Mr. Strootman?
Yes.
Ms. Russell?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Motion carries 6-0.
Thank you. Recommendation for acknowledgement will be forwarded to City Council. Mr. Stanton.
I'd like to entertain a motion, please.
Yes, please.
I move that we adopt the matrix as prepared for City Council use in future regulatory and policy decisions.
Would you care to add an amendment to that?
Per amendment suggested by Mr. Zenner, please.
to include Master Naturalist in addition to Master Gardener.
Yes.
I move to second his initial moment, his initial motion and the amendment.
Thank you. Second by Mr. McMahon. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on that motion? This motion? I see none. Mr. Toohey, may we have roll call, please?
Ms. Lowe?
Yes.
Mr. McMahon?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Stanton?
Yes.
Mr. Strootman?
Yes.
Ms. Russell?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Motion carries 6-0.
Unanimous. Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council.
And if I may ask the Commission, as a result of your unanimous recommendations, this item would be placed under the consent agenda as it on the Council's agenda. As we have discussed previously, the Commission does have the authority to recommend or request that an item of this nature be placed under old business, which would allow for additional public discussion. Is there any desire of the Commission to request that happen?
This would allow additional opportunity to speak to it, but it would delay the adoption of it.
No, it would not.
Oh, it would not?
It would not. It would still be introduced, and then the second reading would basically be a public input, but it would still be approved on the second reading if there are no outstanding issues that council wanted to have addressed. So it would not slow it down any. It would just allow for additional public comment to be made.
If I may.
Mr. McMahon.
If we wish to, I believe that we should put it on old business, and I'll say why. If we want them to act with alacrity on this, they need to understand that clearly. A lot of times the consent agenda would be 20 to 50 items long, and it doesn't get the focus and the read that everything else does that gets a public hearing. Now, if no one wants to come and speak, that's fine, but if it's on old business, they got to read, they got to be ready to discuss it.
Can we ask the stakeholders if they would like it to be? Do we have to open up public comment again?
You have to open up the public hearing, in order to do so.
I think I'm going to do that. We're going to reopen public hearing. Ms. Eumanns and Ms. Wilson, if you can come forward to the podium, we want to ask a question. Would you like to speak at City Council on this?
I don't know that it is necessary to speak, but I think Mr. McMahon's point is well taken, and that by having it under old business, it would give other people an opportunity, if they did want to say how important the road is to them, which might put a little more pressure on the urgency of acting quickly. If it's not going to delay it, I see no harm in putting it under old business.
Thank you. But any questions for this speaker?
Ms. Eumanns, do you want to speak before I start talking?
I don't see. I wouldn't want to suggest anything that would delay it. If there is, we are certainly willing to speak or bring any supplemental information such as photographs that could be gone through quickly. You have all learned a lot more about the road than City Council has in recent months. Whatever is the best route is what we're willing to do.
If I may, could I help you? Perhaps I could help inform your decision. If this is pulled by someone else, because anyone can pull this, or one of the council people can pull this, if it's going to be discussed, I think it would behoove you to be present and have any and all information, be able to any and all questions that are there. There's something else that I thought of. There's no funding mechanism in here. If it's going to be funded in any way, even outside stakeholders, that process has to begin. And if it's on a consent agenda, it's something that goes up on the shelf upstairs. And it's been on the shelf upstairs for 25 years.
And Council Peters was also a member of the stakeholder committee both before She became a council person and during her tenure. So I think she might appreciate the opportunity to address this.
I just think it's better, and there will be no delay. There's a first read where they literally read the number. No one has to be there. And the second read is either on the consent agenda or it's discussed. And we're done with budget, so there's not going to be, you know. I feel it's more effective if it's on the old business.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your excellent work.
Thank you for bringing it forward. All right, we're going to close public hearing. Any additional commission discussion? Ms. Russell.
Do we need to make a motion? Okay, I'd like to move that this both of these recommendations be placed in old business and not on the consent agenda for City Council.
All right.
Second.
Second by Mr. Stanton, and Council says we can do this thumbs up.
Correct.
So, thumbs up, old business, both items.
As amended.
All right. Any additional last-minute thoughts, Mr. Zenner?
No, there are
none. No. Okay. Public hearings are over. Thank you. We're on to public comments. Any additional public comments? Thanks. Staff comments.
Next meeting's November 7th. It is our only meeting in the month of November. Enjoy Turkey holiday. And we have some cases for this November 7th meeting, along with a regular work session, which starts at 5:30. Your cases for the night will be the Columbia Mall PD plan amendment. This is to accommodate the recently announced contemplated hotel along Bernadette, as well as to address the statement of intent, if I recall correctly, to incorporate this. And then we will have our second item, which is a not frequent item that we see come before the Planning and Zoning Commission, a street renaming for Rice Road to Avion Boulevard. As depicted here on the maps, obviously we all know where the mall is. The road request for renaming is from Ballinger and then eastward to Lake of the Woods. And that is a road name change that would affect a couple hundred property owners or tenants. The purpose of why this request is coming before you is pursuant to Chapter 24's requirements. There is not a unanimous support of a road name change of all of the affected property owners that abut the roadway, and therefore a public hearing must be held before the Planning and Zoning Commission with a recommendation forwarded to the City Council. Council will also then have to hold a public hearing as it relates to this item before the road name may be changed. The majority of this road segment is currently developed with residential structures. There is a portion on the eastern end of the roadway that is not, so there won't be as many affected property owners on the east end as there are on the west end of this road segment. We have provided, as required by Chapter 24's standard certified mail notice to all property owners of record. We have also provided individual notice to all tenants or occupants of structures within this particular location. I can tell you now at this point, we are aware that Avion Boulevard is not an acceptable name according to our joint communications staff. And it is very possible that during the public hearing, an alternate name may be presented. However, it is staff's opinion that the public hearing is the appropriate juncture at which to point out a new road name, in which the public would then have an opportunity to comment on. So as I have said, this is not a common function that we have before the Planning and Zoning Commission. However, regulatorily, you are the body in which it begins with, and ultimately it ends with City Council determining if the road name should change. As we discussed this evening in our work session, we were not able to complete our agenda. We do have the item of our comprehensive plan update that Ms. Bacon will provide us at the November 7th meeting.
And moving forward from that November 7th meeting, we will expeditiously attempt to continue the momentum that will be begun in order to ensure that the five-year update criteria can be reported to City Council before the end of first quarter of 2020, which is where we need to be at. Buckle your seatbelts. It's going to be an interesting ride through the remaining portion of this year and then for early next year as we continue to try to get information so we can prepare that amendment and adjustments report needed. With that is all we have to offer this evening. What I can tell you is your December meeting. We do have two meetings in the month of December. Your first December meeting includes these items, or it would include two items plus the tabled item for West Broadway that we tabled at our last Planning Commission meeting. So there are only three items at this point for the December 4th meeting, and our application submittal deadline for your second meeting in December is actually Monday of this coming week. So we will have an understanding if we will have items on that agenda. Even if we do not have commission items for the regular meeting agenda, given what we have to cover in work session, it is likely that we would have that work session meeting, which would be your standard holiday meeting and holiday meal as well. Thank you very much for your attention this evening and your work, and we will look forward to seeing you at the beginning of November.
Thank you, Mr. Zenner. Commissioner comments.
I have a motion.
Mr. McMahon.
I move we adjourn.
Second. Second by Mr. Stanton. We're adjourned.